verses. The children certainly have an exciting lesson ahead of them tonight. I love that portion of Scripture where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He goes on to say, and if you live in me, and if you believe in me, you'll never die. And he asks Martha, do you believe that? Do you believe that if you live in me and you believe in me, you will never die? What a challenge. I trust each one here tonight can say yes. You believe in him and you live in him and you'll live eternal. I hope the children somehow will pray for them that they can grasp that truth somehow this evening. Reading from Acts chapter 17, the first 15 verses. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately set away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. We've enjoyed many blessings. It's a great blessing. I've been so looking forward to this set of meetings to get a broad view of Scripture. There's a blessing in that. I think Brother Steve said in the first meeting that we had that, you know, we take verses, we take chapters, we take books, and we study those. But do we ever get the big picture? And there's a great value in that. And I'm thankful that we have these meetings. Would you have any prayer requests you'd like to share with the group?
Mine works and yours doesn't. And so Timothy did. Reluctantly, nervously, and with a whole lot of, well, what ifs and what will people say? And Paul said, well, we're going to take care of the circumcision thing first. So we don't have to worry about you standing in front of a congregation and people saying, I know him, he's the one that's not circumcised. And off they went. And Paul had his ideas. He thought, we're going to go down into Asia, down in here. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And he thought, maybe we would go up into Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And Timothy is thinking, this is getting off to a great start. And so they couldn't get north or south, so they just went straight ahead. Until they got to Troas, and they have their toes hanging in the sea. And saying, now what? And then Luke came. Luke came in a vision to Paul and said, come over to Macedonia. And just when Timothy thought that Paul may be getting ready to give up and go back, no such luck. They boarded a boat and they traveled across until they came to Philippi. Philippi. Now you would think if God were really preparing the way, wouldn't you walk into a city and find a huge synagogue where you could preach? But God has never worked among the many. God has always worked among the few. And Philippi was no different. As Paul, who had never been in that area, walked through looking for a synagogue, there was none. All that they found was a women's Bible study down by the river. So if it was a women's Bible study where the gospel is to be shared, so be it. And Paul went down to the riverside along with Silas and with Timothy. And they found a strong lady down there, a lady named Lydia. And Paul made it a practice to never be under obligation to anybody. But Lydia was a strong lady and she compelled them to come in and stay at their house. And somehow it seemed like in Philippi nothing was going to go right. As they were walking down the streets, there was this crazy girl that kept following them around, saying, I know them! They're preaching about God! And finally, Paul turned around and said, be gone. And took the demons that were in that girl and cast them out. But it was those demons that were helping that girl to prophesy. And so the controllers of the girl went and they accused Paul and Silas, and they wound up in prison, leaving Timothy. So when they left, they weren't quite driven out of the city, but neither were they welcome in the city. And so they left. And they left by a road that is still visible today, called the Ignatian Way. The Ignatian Way travels the whole way across here. And so they followed it from Philippi down to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a 90-mile trip. My morning began in Burlington, Vermont. And so when I get within 90 miles of something, I tell Brenda that if I'm less than an hour away, I feel like I should just walk. Why bother driving? But when you're driving on foot or on donkey back, however you travel, a 90-mile trip is a pretty significant trip. And so they traveled from Philippi down to Thessalonica. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. Who was Jason? Jason was the leader of the synagogue, and brought to bring him out to all the people. Now, this is in Thessalonica. And as soon as it was night, the brothers set Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, so we see in 1 Thessalonians that Paul was very unhappy. He got torn away in the middle of a promising mission. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, the brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. And so Paul saw this door opening, and then the door slammed closed. I have a young lady that went, and I think I talked about this girl a couple weeks ago, a young lady that was in Phil Haven until noon today. And her mother and I were talking about some stuff, and I said, God opens doors, closes doors. One of the hardest things for us to recognize is that when God opens a door, you walk through it. How many times do we have an open door and we say, let's pray about this? Is that wrong? Maybe. If you ever ask me to speak, one of the comments I often get is, boy, it didn't take you long. Well, I just wanted to walk through the open door before you change your mind. I check my calendar, and it is open, and I say, okay, it's open. God calls me to speak. Door opens. You walk through. But then how often do we see a closed door that we are fully convinced is someplace we're supposed to go? And we beat on the door and beat on the door and beat on this closed door, and we... And this is a much longer testimony for a much longer period of time. But I felt called from the time I was 15 to be a preacher. As you can see, I'm not. It took me to my mid-40s when I had a young lady pin me to the wall and ask me questions for hours. And then turned to me and said, I've never had answers to those questions before. Well, all of a sudden, a light went on. And I said, oh, that's what you had intended for me. That was the open door. But we get where we get by walking through open doors and recognizing closed doors. And what Paul is saying right here, I wanted to go through that door and it was closed. Satan stopped us. And Paul said, fine, we will go on to Berea. So they traveled down to Berea. Now Berea, this little dotted line is the Ignatian Way. So they got off of the Ignatian Way, 60-mile journey from Thessalonica to Berea. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. You ever notice when you follow the life of the Apostle Paul that the Jews weren't satisfied to just kick him out of their city? They followed him to the other cities as well and tried to stir up trouble there. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. Now, I want you to watch this. They sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. They remained where? In Berea. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens. And after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. So what are Silas and Timothy doing where they are? Here is what they are doing. Okay, so Paul is in Athens. And I didn't have a slide for this one. But we'll find out shortly that Paul took... So they're in Berea. Silas and Timothy are in Berea. And so they went back to check up on these baby churches. Silas went back to Philippi. Doesn't that seem kind of a funny place to go? He was just got out of jail in Philippi. But the reason he went back to Philippi is that they had proclaimed him to be innocent. So he could safely go back to Philippi, and they wouldn't worry about him. Timothy went back to Thessalonica to check up on things there. So we're going to leave them there for a second, but just remember that Silas is in Philippi, Timothy is in Thessalonica. Paul is in Athens. Approaching Athens would not have been encouraging to a Christian missionary as he passed on the main road, where there are 4 miles of alders, according to ancient writers. Again, as you're driving, you ever look at the scenery? I mean, yes, we look at the scenery. I'm driving up in Vermont, and I'm driving, just looking at all this beautiful scenery. 4 miles of alders, of idols, including, according to ancient writers, alders to the unknown God. Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, in him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. So Paul does not just sit there waiting for Silas and Timothy. He can't help it. He is just talking to people that just happen. He's a street preacher. Some of the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? What's he saying? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of divine, of foreign divinities. They're not quite sure what to make of him, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know this new teaching that you're presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, all the Athenians and foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years, right? Nothing but something new. Just something that doesn't quite fit. We're going to add something new to it. Okay, we find out in Acts 18. We know the whole outcome of that. They kind of threw him out and made fun of him and said, you know what, it's kind of silly. And after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Other than 2 Timothy, where Paul's in the dungeon waiting death, which is the last book that Paul wrote, this period of time is the only time he's alone. Paul always had people with him, except for in Athens and the first time in Corinth. Did he ever get discouraged? Do we ever think of Paul as being discouraged? Well, isn't Paul like the Energizer Bunny that never gets discouraged? Look at this. 1 Corinthians 2. Remember, he's going from Athens to Corinth. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. If you go back to Athens, Paul is quoting philosophers. Some of your philosophers say this, and he's got all this wisdom. He said, when I came to you in Corinth, I didn't come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided, it was a conscious decision. After Athens, he said, when I go to Corinth, I'm going to do nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Do we come in fault of that sometimes? Where we look at the world and think, if I speak Jesus Christ, I'm going to look really silly. So let's quote some other preachers and let's quote some philosophers. And let's quote scientific stuff about this. And Paul said, I vow to do nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the thing that is amazing to me is we have this lonely preacher who was coming from Athens. His sidekicks are many miles away, and he arrives in Corinth and said, found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God said, Claudius, kick out the Jews in Rome so that Priscilla and Aquila show up and they're waiting for Paul when he gets there? Corinth. Corinth is a fascinating city. When Paul set himself up, he established himself at crossroads, because today we can get, you know, y'all are like an hour and 5 minutes away from me. Had I been going by horse and buggy, I would have had to leave like last evening. I can cover a lot of territory. Paul, on the other hand, did not have a car. He did not have internet, didn't have the ability to text. And so what Paul did is he set himself up at crossroads. Remember Pentecost, where God started the church. God didn't take his disciples and scatter them out. He brought them to Pentecost to hear the gospel. So if you look at the maps, Tarsus is at a huge crossroads. Antioch of Syria is at a huge crossroads. Corinth, where we are today, right now, is in a huge crossroads. Ephesus is a big crossroads. And then finally in Rome. And so he was at places, and when we look at Ephesus, we'll find that Laodicea and Colossae and Philadelphia, all of those churches were very close to there. And in Colossians, Paul says, greetings to all of the Christians that I've never seen. That he has actually led to Christ some of their leaders that went back to Colossae and led them to Christ. Okay, Corinth. So if you look at this, okay, Greece is up in there, and we have the Aegean Sea over in here, and we have Rome up in here, and there's this little neck of land. And so if you're taking a boat, say, from Ephesus to Rome, you have to go down around here into really dangerous seas up to Rome, or you can go right there. And they created a dragway to drag them across. And sailors have a reputation that goes back to those days as well. So it was a pagan city in a time when you called somebody a Corinthian, it was to accuse them of being sexually loose. It sat in a narrow neck of land by the Aegean Sea where there was a slideway dating back 600 years where they would drag the ships from one side to the other to and from Italy. You had the option of dragging the ship 4 miles or sailing 200 miles in dangerous seas. By the time of Paul, Corinth had become the ultimate seaport where sailors spent their time while their boats are being dragged to the other side. The Temple of Aphrodite had 1,000 prostitutes. And so that's why Paul is always in the Corinthian letters talking about immorality, because the 1,000 prostitutes are there. And again, the whole thing about comparing yourselves among yourselves, when you've got 1,000 prostitutes, it's really easy to say, I'm not real bad. I've got, you know, one other person other than my husband or one other woman other than my wife, so I look pretty good. And Paul's saying, no. The 1,000 prostitutes doesn't make your workings and dealings any better. So this is a leftover vestige of the dragway. They would put the ships in this little thing and they would hook it up to donkeys and whatever oxen and drag it across. In the background is a canal that is there today. So you can go to Corinth today and you can come across the same place. The dragway is up in there somewhere. You can see it from the satellite, how the canal goes across there. It's actually not used all that much anymore because it's too narrow, but for a period of time that was a pretty big cross over there. Corinth was Paul's first base of operation, but it wasn't intended as such. Paul was not intending to stay there, desiring rather to return to Thessalonica, be received a vision. And so one night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, this is in Acts, do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people. Does that catch you? There are many in this city who are my people. They just don't know they're his people yet, because Paul hasn't presented Christ to them. But God is saying, these are my people. Have you met any of God's people yet that don't know that they're God's people? There are people that God has called you to talk to because they are God's people. They just don't know it yet. And so these are God's people, but they don't know it yet. He stayed with Priscilla and Aquila. Now, isn't that an interesting coincidence that Paul and Priscilla and Aquila were the same trade? And early on, Paul did something that he rarely did. Remember, he's alone, his own baptizing. That's one reason why they had John Mark along and they had Timothy along, because they did the baptizing. 1 Corinthians 16:15. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia before Silas and Timothy showed up, and that they had devoted themselves to the service of the saints. In 1:15-16, so no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anybody else. So we can see that in here, it says Stephanas was the first converts, and Paul baptized Stephanas. So he was baptizing people initially, but that's not what he wanted to do. He didn't want anybody saying, well, I was baptized by Paul, so my salvation is obviously better. So Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, and Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. One of the things that continually blows my mind is just how they found each other in that culture. I mean, they didn't have cell phones. We're so used to our cell phones. We use our cell phones in the other end of a department store. Honey, where are you? I'm over by the boots. Well, I'm by the soda display. Just stay there and I'll... Silas and Timothy are in Macedonia. Paul is down in Achaia. And he shows up. And we're going to see, and we're going to run out of time. We're just going to run this thing for another 6 weeks. I'm joking. Don't. but we'll see in 2 Corinthians, Paul is hunting desperately for Titus because he can't find him. And he goes from one city to the next. And so Silas has gone up to Philippi. Timothy is in Thessalonica. Silas comes down from Thessalonica, finds Timothy. From Philippi comes down to Timothy, finds him in Thessalonica. Then they come down to Corinth and find Paul. Silas came back from Philippi with money. Philippians 4:15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, he left Macedonia, went to Athens, went to Corinth. When I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except for you. They gave the money to Silas, who brought it along down to Philippi, to Corinth. Which is why it says that when they came down, Paul was able to put himself exclusively to the gospel because he didn't have to work anymore for his money, because the Philippian church had brought money. 2 Corinthians 11:7, or did I commit sin in humbling myself, to the Corinthian church, so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. So Silas came back from Philippi with money. Timothy came back with questions. Timothy got caught in some questions he couldn't handle, especially concerning the future, which seemed to be a particularly vexing problem in Thessalonica, causing some to go off in the deep end, some even reaching the point they did nothing but sit around gazing at the sky, looking for the return of Christ. And Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. The greeting is from the three of them. Silas disappears from the scene at this point. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul, Silvanus, Silas, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. 1 Thessalonians 3:1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we decided to be left alone at Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God, in proclaiming the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith. That's how we know he went to Thessalonica. so that no one would be shaken by these persecutions. Indeed, you yourselves know that this is what we were destined for. But Timothy has just now come to us. So it was written right from Corinth when Timothy came from Thessalonica and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, just as we long to see you. He mentioned the jail incident. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you is not in vain, for though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. As typical with earlier epistles, they were written to address a specific problem. Galatia had trouble with legalism. Thessalonica had trouble with prophecy. Unlike the churches like Corinth and Ephesus, Paul was only in town for a short period of time, long enough to establish a church, but not long enough to teach them a lot of doctrine. Among the problems that the Thessalonian church faced was persecution by pagans. I'm just going to fly through this without reading the verses. There was a temptation for believers to accept pagan sexual standards. They were going overboard in prophecy. Some of the Christians seemed to have given up working and relied on others to supply their needs. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you so you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. And there was uncertainty about the fate of believers who had died, and some of the Thessalonians appeared to have thought that Christ would come back soon and take them all to be with him. What would happen to those who had died before the great event? But we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who sleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. There seems to have been accusations of ulterior motives by Paul. We see in 2:3-4, for our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. And now Silas comes in carrying money. And they're saying, see? He's trying to get our money. And so Paul responds to that. And the letter finishes with Proverbs from Paul. See that no one repays evil for evil, etc. And finishes up like that. So Timothy was given the letter, heads back up to Thessalonica carrying the letter. Timothy came back with more questions. And they said, but what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And so Paul immediately wrote 2 Thessalonians and sent him back with 2 Thessalonians. This one has a little bit of an irritated tone to it. When you read it, there's just a little bit of irritated. Apparently someone had come in the meantime and claimed to have a word from Paul. So if you look in 2 Thessalonians 2, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to come from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Apparently somebody wrote a letter and said, this is from Paul. And Paul said, no, it wasn't. If they are saying that the day of the Lord has come and they say it's coming from me, it didn't come from me. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. This is the sign of the genuineness in every letter of mine. It's the way I write. Talked about this 2 weeks ago, that Paul, when he wrote, he always did the tail end of it by himself so that that was recognizable. Paul repeats a lot of the same things he said in the first letter using stronger language. For this, indeed, this is what we're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, do this more and more. So I had just read in 1 Thessalonians where it said to work. Here it just uses stronger language. Live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands, so you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So it's basically the same thing. Well, that's 1 Thessalonians. And then 2 Thessalonians, he says, it's not because we didn't do that right, but to give ourselves an example to initiate, and even more than we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. So the other one is 1 Thessalonians. This is 2 Thessalonians, where he takes the same thing and makes it stronger. In each of the previous places where there was a promise, Paul was always driven out, often with the approval of the authorities. In Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Paul was always driven out. In Philippi, they were accused of disturbing the peace. In Thessalonica, they were accused of setting up a competing Caesar. In Corinth, they accused Paul of pushing a religion that was not officially approved by Rome. And they said, this man is persuading people to worship God in ways that are contrary to the law. And it's kind of interesting because they have this whole spiel and says, but just when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said, he was the governor or the leader. He said, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime of Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it's a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things. And so he drove them from the tribunal and said, I don't even want to hear it. And so basically gave Paul the blessing to stay because he didn't really care. And if you know any Roman stuff at all, you know that Seneca was one of the great philosophers. Gallio was the brother of Seneca. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brother, set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. So at Centuria, he had cut his hair. So Centuria is a port right outside of Corinth, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. He left who there? He left Priscilla and Aquila there. And he himself went into the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. This is in Ephesus. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills, and set sail from Ephesus. While he was in Ephesus, word caught up with Paul that there was an immorality problem that surfaced in the Corinthian church, and the church was afraid to deal with it. Paul wrote them a letter, which didn't survive, warning them that it's something that had to be dealt with, and they call that Corinthians A. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I wrote to you in my earlier letter not to associate with those who sin sexually. So, earlier letter, 1 Corinthians, it was a letter previous to the one that we have, and so scholars call that Corinthians A. Paul headed back for a flying visit of Jerusalem, touched base in Antioch, then visited the churches, and came back to Ephesus. And so he went down like such, just went straight back down to Caesarea. And we need to change PowerPoints. That's the wrong one. Try this. And so that was the first missionary journey. This is the second missionary journey where he starts up here, and we see that he's just backtracking. He stops at Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, all the places he stopped before. And if you remember, in the second missionary journey, he tried to go to Asia and he couldn't. He went up across there to Asia. This time he went down to Ephesus and established himself down there. I'm going to actually skip that. So here is Ephesus. Ephesus, Paul spent 2 years and 9 months in Ephesus, apparently never leaving. While his base was Ephesus, it was a center for evangelism, probably reaching all the churches mentioned in Revelation. So if you look at the other churches, we've got Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia of Asia Minor, Laodicea. All these churches are in a circle right in there. And because Ephesus was the port city, the gospel got carried to all of those churches. In Acts 19:8, it said, and he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. Just a note, what was Christianity called before Christianity? It was called the way. So if you do a little search about the way, that was what people called it. It was just the way. before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the house of Tyrannus. So Paul went from teaching in the synagogues to a lecture hall. Ephesus was known for three things. It was the center of the land routes leading to Asia Minor, a fact that spread Christianity without Paul ever moving. It was a huge seaport, one constantly fighting silting. Today, it's 6 miles in from the Aegean Sea. Even back in the time of Paul, they had to keep dredging that seaport to keep it from filling in with dirt. It was the home of the seventh and final version of the Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And so that was pretty much what they think that the Temple of Diana looked like. This is what it looks like today. They have that one pillar which they reconstructed, and that's pretty much what it looks like today. The pilgrims came to worship Diana and instead became Christians, which is kind of cool. It's amazing to realize the influence of the gospel. There were a 2-year period of time, the income at the temple dropped enough that they held a council to decide what to do with Paul. All of these people coming to worship Diana that instead wound up becoming Christians. Let's see if we can find a good place to break. Toward the end of the 2 years, 9 months, he received a delegation from Corinth carrying a letter with questions that the church had collected. The delegation came from the house church of Chloe and apparently was headed up by Stephanas, who we talked about, one of Paul's early disciples. Paul says, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunaeus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours, so give recognition to such people. So these men came carrying these letters with questions in, and that is 1 Corinthians, and we're going to start with that slide next week, and we're going to make an absolute flying trip through the rest of all we have. We got all of 3 books in so far, and we like 10 to do next week. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you all for coming out this evening, and thank you, Steve, for putting some real life in Paul as we journey the dusty roads and go through these cities together. We'll stand for prayer, and after prayer, we'll have a hymn. Somebody will announce a hymn, and then we'll be dismissed.